right now.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chakma, all across the tundra. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Season's greetings. Hope everyone had a great Christmas and looking forward to this home stretch of 2020. Joining me on the phone to host the show this morning, Greg Kim. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, Grady. Thank you. Over the holiday weekend, the Bethel Winter House made its move to its new facility at the old Senior Center. Here to tell us about how the move went is Bethel Winter House President John Cochran. Morning, John. Thanks for being on the show this morning. I hope you had a good holiday weekend.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
John, what day was the official grand opening for the old Senior Center for Bethel Winter House operations?
Well, the official grand opening was going to be Christmas Eve. We did have some utility complications and another fire alarm complication, so we were able to accomplish most of our move. The first night that we'll have guests sleep at the shelter will actually be tonight.
Oh, okay. Very exciting. Your hope with the new facility was to offer a year-round homeless shelter. So does that mean that the shelter, after it opens tonight, that it won't close down in the spring like it normally does and maybe never close down ever again?
So far that is the plan. Obviously, funding is always an issue. We've never been open longer than 5 or 6 months before, so being open 12 months is going to be an interesting challenge funding-wise in this current environment. But our goal is, yes, to not close the doors. There will be some times that we'll have to transition out of the new shelter and back to the Covenant Church during the construction phase. The building is still under construction, and there are things that will have to be done between now and the summer. But our goal is to keep the facility open permanently and begin to expand services.
And just because you brought up funding, I want to touch on that a little bit. How do you plan to sustain funding going forward to offer these increased services year-round?
Obviously, philanthropy, donations, and grants will be a big portion of it. There are both federal and state grants available to help fund both housing and food security issues, and we're hoping to be able to address both at the shelter.
I see. How do you think it will impact the homeless population in Bethel to have a year-round homeless shelter?
Well, first of all, I think it'll add a little bit of a sense of security. You know, it's always very difficult every year when we have to close down the shelter, and you know that those people aren't going to have anywhere to go, especially with COVID, where a lot of the normal places that they used to go to either get warm or get out of the rain are closed down to them. They're not allowed, unless they have an appointment, to go to the hospital anymore. The library has been open by appointment only. A lot of their normal avenues have been closed. So giving them a place where they can feel secure, where they know that they're going to have a warm place to sleep and a hot meal every night will hopefully be the first step to recovery for a lot of our guests.
And going to the move, you've mentioned some of the utility issues and fire alarm issues. How has the overall transition from the Covenant Church to the new facility at the old Senior Center been?
You know, actually, overall, for a building that was abandoned as long as it was, it's gone really well. The construction team was very impressed with how solid the building was. And even though it was vandalized over the years and a lot of people broke in and did things, most of what was done were not things that were expensive to repair. Most of what was done were very superficial things. And so the building itself has held up really well.
That's good to hear. So what do you think the first night tonight will look like? Will it be any different than if the guests were staying at the Covenant Church?
There will be a few differences. The first one is there is a lot more space, so we will be able to space people out more appropriately based on current COVID guidelines. There's also more restroom facilities. And we do have shower facilities available at the new shelter as well. A laundry room is there, and we're expecting a washer and dryer commercial grade to be delivered this week. So we're hoping to be able to get people some clean clothes and a shower and, you know, hopefully help a little bit with the hygiene issue as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really good to hear. With the increased space, does that mean that more guests could potentially stay at the Winter House as well?
It does. It really expands our ability. We have the ability at the new facility to sleep up to 40 guests with proper COVID spacing, so at least 6 feet apart in all directions. When COVID restrictions disappear, we would have the ability to accommodate even more guests if necessary. Although our average population has been between 17 and 20, we have had nights where we get over 40 people.
Mm-hmm. And another Bethel Winter House board member, Adam London, mentioned that during COVID, during the pandemic, that the average number of guests staying at the Winter House per night has increased since before the pandemic as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think a large part of that is couch surfing has diminished quite a bit. Obviously, doors that used to be open to them have been closed because people are afraid to let people into their home, even relatives that normally they would let sleep on a couch or in a spare room. So it's created more need, definitely.
Mm-hmm. How much work has gone? I know this has been a long time coming for this year-round facility. Can you talk briefly about how much work has gone into this new facility over the years?
Well, quite a bit of work, actually. Our construction team and people that have seen the new facility are amazed because our construction team didn't arrive until October, and yet they've done an amazing amount of work on the facility itself. As far as both paid consultants and volunteer board members, hundreds and hundreds of hours of planning and meetings and decision-making and logistics. It's been a large group effort, and I've been really proud of the team that we put together.
Mm-hmm. How excited are you for this move, and have you talked to any of the guests about how they feel about the move?
You know, I'm really excited about it. We have talked to some of the guests, especially those guests that are interested in recovery, are very excited about the move. This move is going to allow us the space that we can host recovery programs for guests. It's also going to allow us to invite some of our local medical providers in to provide both medical care and behavioral health case management. So we're really excited at the potential to not just be a stopgap emergency shelter, but to actually help people on that path to recovery.
Mm-hmm. And can you expand on that a little bit? What are the other services that you plan to offer at the expanded Winter House, and how will those be offered?
Well, the full vision for the future includes bringing the food bank over to that location, so it's centrally located in housing there, which is an area where there's been a lot of need. Really expanding the food services and offering a daytime kitchen at some point. But what I'm most excited about is behavioral health case management and medical, being able to partner with public health, with YKHC, with Bethel Family Clinic, to bring clinicians in and be able to address these people's needs. A lot of these people that have significant needs and either don't have the ability or the motivation to be able to go address those on their own. This will give them a little bit of that hand up and the opportunity to have access to some of those services that they should have been getting all along.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, is that something that's offered at other shelters in Alaska or around the nation?
You know, it is, and we really got the idea. Michelle DeWitt took a group of us from the Bethel Housing Coalition down to Juneau to see their Housing First program. And one of the things that impressed us most about that program is their community health center had an integrated clinic inside the shelter where they provided both behavioral health case management and medical services to the guests. The guests are all Medicaid billable, so it became a mutually beneficial operation for both the clinic and the guests. The guests were able to maintain a higher level of health, to maintain consistent behavioral health, and the clinic was able to obviously meet its caseload requirements and was able to bill those services appropriately. So we thought it was an amazing idea. We're not quite to that point yet, but they're setting a great example for us, and we'd like to get our foot in the door.
Mm-hmm. And I think I've heard you talk about in the past that these increased services, the goal or one of the side effects of them is that potentially people are able to use Bethel Winterhouse more as a place where they can gear up to go back and support their own housing in the future. Is that correct?
That is correct. We've had several guests that are former Winterhouse residents that I'm happy to still see employed at jobs around the city that now have apartments, that are now in relationships, some that are starting new families. And so it's really gratifying when you see that transition from someone that was sleeping on the street, so to speak, to someone that was able to get their feet under them a little bit and get the support that they needed to take those next steps and really contribute to their own health and safety going forward.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about what the next steps are for Winterhouse, maybe in terms of construction or next funding opportunities that you'll pursue, things like that?
Well, I can tell you that the next thing that we need as we're becoming a real organization, and it's a real growing struggle to go from a $40,000 a year budget to all of a sudden, you know, going through a couple $1 million in CARES Act money and trying to manage the logistics of all of it. So from a staffing perspective, we really need to bring on an executive director, someone that this is their full-time mission. As opposed to, I mean, us volunteers are great, but we all have day jobs, and so we really want someone that this can be their primary focus, and one of those focuses will be looking for those sources of funding, looking for those ways to enhance the program and to add new services. As far as what we're looking to do in the near future, one of the most exciting things for me is getting the guests over there in a more permanent situation once the construction phase is complete. We expect all construction to be done by the end of the summer and really to have it become a temporary home for people while they get back on their feet. We want to have the guests highly involved over there and have them have a sense of pride and ownership in that building and the program.
That's awesome. Are there any other additional thoughts that you'd like to share today?
Just, you know, a lot of people have reached out to me about our homeless population, some in a very positive way, but there's a lot of people that think that, oh, you're just a recovery program or you're just helping people that are intoxicated or that have substance problems. We get people from all walks of life. We get people that are stranded here for a week because they can't get back to their village either due to weather and they can't afford a hotel due to some problem with travel. We get people that have had a home and lost their jobs or that have had their home destroyed by fire. We get a wide variety of guests. And so a lot of times people's view of what a homeless person is very different from reality. And our hope is to be able to provide services for all of these guests and to really be a conduit to connect the individual with the appropriate resource so that we can get them moving on to whatever the next stage in their life is.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, thank you for sharing all that, and thanks for joining us today, John.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and we appreciate all the support KYUK has given us over the years. Thank you so much.
Of course. You've been listening to John Cochran, Bethel Winterhouse Board President, talk about opening the old senior center to be a year-round homeless shelter, and their grand opening will be tonight. Thanks for listening to Coffee at KYUK. I'm your host, Greg Kim.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Have an excellent day. Leaving me just one thing left to say to listeners, and that's don't forget to be awesome to each other.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.